Hello, good evening, everybody. We have got, in about 25 minutes, Ali Zoe coming on, who is the founder, Ali Zoe Adam, founder of the Zoe Pound Gang in Florida. And he was featured in Diddy videos. He was partying with J-Lo, partying with Diddy, supplying substances to Diddy parties, his organization. So he's just got out of prison. He served almost 20 years. He's facing multiple life sentences. And he was in the mix with these guys. And this is his first, it's going to be his first live Q&A on YouTube. So I'm looking forward. He's a really good guy. He's just got a good energy about him. And he's very open about what he's been through. So that's what's coming on in about 25 minutes is Ali, founder of the Zoe Pound Gang, speaking live for the first time. All right. So we have got a few stories have come out. Good old Elon Musk. So Elon Musk has just retweeted today from an article from the Econo Times. Trump aide Kash Patel demands massive declassification, calls for the release of Epstein and Diddy lists. As truth must come out. Oh my goodness, can you imagine? Can you imagine if they get these lists released? If this isn't just posturing and they go after some of these people. Clinton crime family. I barely knew Jeffrey Epstein. I flew on his plane to Africa on a humanitarian mission. Yeah, right. When all the flight logs showed, Bill, that you left your Secret Service agents and got on the plane with a bunch of East European-sounding female names. What did that tell us? So, President-elect Trump appoints Kash Patel as FBI director, prompting social media calls for the declassification of contentious documents such as the Epstein list and the Diddy list. Elon Musk is supporting the push for transparency, aligning with Patel's advocacy for revealing sensitive information for public accountability. Look, sometimes people say things to get kudos, and these things are shut down by dark entities. Well, let's see what happens here, because this is a good movement, I believe. So this advocation for declassification of controversial documents is going viral, garnering support from none other than Elon Musk. This conversation began when a user on X shared a screenshot of an article quoting Patel's recall for massive declassification, recent call for massive declassification of sensitive documents, including the infamous Epstein list and the lesser-known Diddy list. And I started out reading you guys that tweet on the Econo Times that Elon Musk has retweeted today. The user captioned the post simply with, "Do it," and Musk amplified the call by sharing the post and replying, "Yes." Yes, go Elon. Let me just... I'll give X a refresh. I'm looking at Elon Musk right now. 206.5 million followers. Wow. What's he saying about Germany? So this retweet has got 36 million impressions. Good grief. Go Elon. Kash Patel, a key Trump aide and national security figure, has urged in the past to release info linked to Jeffrey Epstein and Diddy, asserting that the American people deserve transparency. Oh, they do. The Epstein list allegedly details individuals connected to the disgraced financier, many of whom I touched upon in my book, Who Killed Epstein? Prince Andrew or Bill Clinton? Good Christmas present, folks. According to Econo Times, Patel's statements emphasized the need for truth, stating that the truth must come out no matter how comfortable. Yeah, look how long they have contained important information surrounding the JFK assassination. It's insane. They could bury this stuff until everybody's dead and nobody can be held accountable. Musk's endorsement of the call is amplifying public interest, igniting the conversation around transparency and the implications of Patel's tenure at the FBI. Known for his vocal stance on free speech and governmental accountability, Musk's single word response, yes, has been interpreted as a significant nod towards the demanding for unveiling these controversial records. Trump's decision to appoint Patel as FBI chief likely represents his intention to overhaul the Bureau's operations. In a statement on Truth Social, Trump praised Patel's record, citing his efforts to expose corruption, champion accountability, and defend the Constitution. Patel's career, marked by his roles in counterterrorism and intelligence during Trump's first term, has been both influential and controversial, with critics pointing to his combative rhetoric against political and media adversaries. As Patel prepares to take charge of the FBI, the growing calls for transparency signal potential shifts in how sensitive information is handled. Whether this will result in the declassification of the Epstein and Diddy list remain to be seen. Guys, put a one in the chat if the declassification of the Epstein and Diddy list will happen in our lifetime. Put a two in the chat if you think it will all be buried like JFK information was buried. Let's see if you guys have got some hope. Oh, we see a lot of ones coming in. Oh, here's the twos. Here's the twos. Yep, Stephanie, 100 years later, that's how they do it. I think it's about 50-50 right now coming in. All right. That is that story. Let me get rid of that. We've got 15 minutes left, and we've got three more stories. We've got a J-Lo one, we've got a Bieber one, and we've got an Ashton Kutcher one. I think, let me see which one's the shortest. I think the Bieber one's the shortest. So, troubled Justin Bieber may be forced into work to pay his bills amid the Diddy scandal. He is cash-strapped. How can you make that much money and be cash-strapped? I know, we've interviewed people like Robbie Williams, and they say that the agents and the handlers and the young people, when they get started out, and all these parasites siphon the money from them. Robbie did well in the end, though. He signed a huge deal. $100 million, it was one of the biggest ones in the history of music. But yeah, they get fleeced when they're young people. They're just starry-eyed, and they get taken advantage of. So he's rumored to be cash-strapped after spending like never before while not working following his heartbreaking diagnosis of Ramsey-Hunt syndrome and the incarceration of his former friend, Diddy. He may be forced to go on tour as his bills are mounting up due to an unfortunate health crisis. It is a debilitating neurological disorder while simultaneously spending irresponsibly. Comes 3 months after him and his wife were hit with divorce rumors, and they responded with a blunt statement. They welcomed the baby boy Jack. He's said to spend money like there's no tomorrow, with his income stream drying up. He hasn't released a studio album since 2021 and has had to cancel most of his Justice World tour in early 2023 following his diagnosis of Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. A source said Justin has always been irresponsible with money and spends freely without looking at prices or his bank balance. No wonder the money is dwindling. And so I know it may be fun feeding into these stories, but just know they're always false. Sorry to spoil it. That was a response from Haley, his wife. They laugh at the constant divorce rumors. The insider said it's annoying, but just noise. All right, let's get rid of that one because we've only got 10 minutes before we bring in Ali. He's just served 2 decades in prison, facing multiple life sentences. This guy was a serious gang founder, and he's in Diddy videos, music videos that have got millions of views. He's in other rap videos, and he's partied with J-Lo. He's partied with Diddy. He provided substances to Diddy parties, and he's never been live before, and he's going to be answering your questions in 15 minutes. So stay tuned for that one, folks. And he's got a lovely way about him. So it's going to be a pleasure to have him on. All right. So you may have seen with my Suge Knight interview, I started out asking about J-Lo allegedly bringing the gun in that shot Natanya Rubin in the nightclub. And she's alleged that Diddy was the shooter, not Shine, in the situation where she was shot. But she said Shine shot someone else. So the headline here, J-Lo is brutally reminded of her past with Diddy amid Ben Affleck divorce. She's having a difficult 2024, and she looked particularly ghoulish when she was recommending Kamala, taking that demo money, keep the military-industrial complex in business. All right, so, and if you missed our interviews with Ryan Dawson, and ex-Marine Captain Matthew Ho. We've been doing a lot on Ukraine, Putin, Russia lately. Check those out. I'm learning a lot from these guys. It's fascinating. All right. Amidst her divorce from Ben Affleck, her fourth husband, J-Lo had to cancel a planned concert tour for her poorly received This Is Me Now album. Oh, don't we feel sorry for these people? Not. Although J-Lo is receiving praise for her performance in the upcoming Affleck-produced sports biopic, Unstoppable, she's under scrutiny from fans and the media as Diddy is facing spending the rest of his life behind bars. Well, as Natanya's story reaches a wider audience, and Natanya said she wants justice, she wants J-Lo to be held accountable and accept responsibility. If she did allegedly smuggle the gun into the nightclub that she's alleging Diddy shot her in the face with, then there's a bit of a contradiction when there's so many people in the justice system who are not shooters, who are not out premeditated trying to shoot someone, who just happened to be with someone when a shooting happened. And it's called joint enterprise in the UK. I met a guy who, him and his mates were like computer nerd teenagers. They went to rob a computer shop. And the owner of the computer shop chased them out of the shop, shot one of them dead. And the accomplice who escaped got arrested and was sentenced to life because the guy he was robbing the shop with got shot dead by the shop owner. He was just there when someone got shot. This is how serious these laws can be. And that kid served 25 to life, 25, and got out, and he contacted me online. And he's a really nice guy as well. Wouldn't harm a fly. All right, so Lopez dated Diddy between 1999 and 2001. The relationship ended nearly a quarter century ago. Diddy's trouble with the law is threatening to implicate a number of people in his life. And we know that there's been speculation that there was a night where Diddy R-worded somebody in front of two celebs, including a female celeb who's not been named yet. But it was the night he was with J-Lo. So there's been speculation that that name allegedly could be J-Lo's getting implicated. Even on Thanksgiving, a holiday centered on family and togetherness. Thanksgiving for kicking the bloody Brits out of your country. Eh? J-Lo has prompted sharp divisions through her actions, both recent. An Instagram post of J-Lo standing over a turkey in her kitchen led to a backlash as fans called her out for her association with Diddy. 250 million followers on Insta. Wow. Fans swarmed J-Lo's Insta over the weekend, this weekend, and capitalized on the Let's Get Loud singer's lack of a public statement condemning Diddy as he faces a mountain of lawsuits accusing him of beep, 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 beep. One fan asked sarcastically if J-Lo had sent Diddy a plate of Thanksgiving food as he sits in jail, yet again being denied bail. You know, everyone who gets arrested lives in a perpetual pipe dream world of thinking they're going to get out on bail. I was living in a perpetual pipe dream world of thinking I was getting out on bail for almost 2 years while I was fighting my case. And your lawyers feed into this so they can siphon more money from you. $500 an hour, $1,000 an hour, filing motions. J-Lo's refusal to issue a statement over the matter with Diddy have contributed to a toxic climate enveloping her on social media, exacerbated by her war of words with Affleck. More than most, J-Lo is looking forward to 2025, leaving this horrible year in the dust. All right, we've got 5 minutes before our main event. The founder of the Zoe Pound Gang. This guy's lived a life like a character out of Scarface. But we've got Ashton Kutcher. P. Diddy and Ashton Kutcher's 20-year friendship after Mila Kunis's warning. The relationship has reportedly cooled in recent months amid Diddy's legal issues. Oh, thank you for the super chat. Rain Marie saw J-Lo posing next to food. I don't know if she actually cooked it. Indeed. They originally met as MTV stars when Ashton was the frontman for the show Punk'd. Diddy was having musicians early in his career head out to Brooklyn to grab him a slice of cheesecake. During a 2018 episode of The Late Show with James Corden, the two recalled their very first phone call. Diddy said at the time, I gave him a call one day and I said, I heard that you're going to punk me and I just don't think that's a good idea. Ashton then chimed in. I think it was some version of, if you do that, that will not end well for you. But I think we should work out a deal. That was the beginning of the bromance. Kutcher confessed details about the parties, the Diddy parties, remarking, if you're a single man, there's probably no greater human being in the world to hang out with. This is 20 years ago, 19 years ago. We were having a lot of fun together. And we talked about Leonardo's problems multiplying. We talked about that in yesterday's Diddy News headlines. When Kutcher appeared on the hit series Hot Ones in 2019, he was more tight-lipped about the Diddy parties. Host Sean Evans prodded for anecdotes, but Kutcher demurred. I've got a lot I can't tell. I can't tell that one either. And their bond wasn't just about the high life and mingling, although that played a significant role. It also profoundly influenced their careers. In 2006, Kutcher revealed that his friendship with Diddy was a factor in his decision to join the cast of Guess Who? Quote, our friendship has helped me become aware of the fact that people are becoming comfortable with something that's still very uncomfortable. He observed, alluding to the narrative of the original movie where Sidney Poitier's character, who's black, meets his white fiancé's family. While I was hanging out with Sean, people did not understand why this Iowa farm kid went out with this hip-hop mogul from New York. But it wasn't that he was a hip-hop mogul and I was a farm kid. It was because he was black and I was white. It was that simple. If he was a white hip-hop artist from New York, nobody would have noticed. But their bond is now on ice, with the Mail reporting that Kucha's been stepping back in light of Diddy's troubles and the surge of lawsuits and accusations against him. Quote, there is no way in hell Ashton or his wife will be showing any sort of public support for Diddy right now. Well, they did show support for the bloody Scientologist that landed him in hot water, who got sent down, the actor. Regardless of Ashton's long history with him, he has distanced himself from Diddy since Cassie's lawsuit, and even more so in the wake of the new ones. Regardless of Ashton's long history with him, he has distanced himself since Cassie. Mila will not let Ashton be in any sort of contact. He is expecting a subpoena, as they have been friends for 2 decades. So, if it goes to trial, Ashton may be subpoenaed to court, or he may be expecting a subpoena for if there's going to be any more grand jury indictments, just like our friend Courtney Burgess experienced. As of the story going live, there are no indications that Kucha is implicated in any of the legal actions facing Diddy, who is embroiled in serious accusations ranging from SA and harassment to the transportation of people amid a plethora of civil legal battles, including with Rodney Lil Rod Jones. Cassie took her allegations out of the public eye with her out-of-court settlement. A Homeland Security launched the raids, and he is denying. He's saying that it was an unprecedented ambush and a witch hunt against him. There's been no finding of criminal or civil liability of any of these allegations. Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name. Diddy is, of course, denying all allegations of wrongdoing against him. And we have to add these things. We have to keep this reporting balanced, because some of you may be aware that the dark forces have written up against, rose against us. And we saw, you know, the removal of Ron's shows from YouTube due to certain language that was used. The dark forces. But Ron is back with a vengeance. I've been speaking to him today. He has regrouped. And he's going to be doing loads. And he's going to be bringing Beverly on. And we are trying to get Misha to come back on. And for Jen to interview her. My partner, Jen. And also Beverly to interview her. So I'm just going to check my messages. Let me see. Understood. I've asked him to sign in 5 minutes early. Let me know what you've seen. Hey, Reese, I am live right now. We've got over 3,000 people waiting, watching the present live. So nobody's come into the studio yet. If you want to enter the studio, that's fine. You won't be live. I'm on a separate live from you guys' link. So yeah, just tell him to come in as soon as possible. But I'll stay live in this other stream until he comes in. If you're wondering who our guest is, if you've never heard of him, that's because he's been in prison for 2 decades. He's only got out in recent months. His name is Ali Zoe Adam, and he's the gang founder of the Zoe Pound, which is, they've got their own wiki page. Let me see if I can get this up and we'll go over it. But he's in Diddy videos. He's like in dancing next to Diddy in Diddy videos. He's in other rap videos. He's partied with J-Lo and Diddy, and he has brought illegal substances to Diddy parties. So we've never had the perspective of someone like this. This is his first live stream. He doesn't even understand technology. We had to do a dry run with him today to show him how to log on to StreamYard. But he does have a lovely nature. He's got a lovely nature. And you guys are going to be really happy to hear what he's got to say. Let me see. Can I make that any bigger? Stop sharing. No. I will read this to you then. Not sure how to make it bigger. All right. So he's the founder of Zoe Pound, which is a criminal street gang based in Miami, Florida, founded by Haitian immigrants in 1990. Zoe is the anglicized variant of the word Zoe, which is Creole for bone, as members were known to be hard to the bone. And seriously, his life is like Scarface. He's been accused of unaliving people. The people have tried to unalive him. He's been in shootouts where they're just spraying his car with bullets. He's getting shot. People around him getting shot. When conflicts against Haitians arose, the pound would be sought out to retaliate. Thus, the street gang name Zoe Pound was born. An alternative theory states that Pound acts as an acronym for Power of the United Negroes in Divinity. Hey, Reese, I can see you in the stream. Sit tight. I will join you when he pops up. He's not popped up yet, but I'll hear a sound when he comes in. All right, history. The gang was initially acting as a vigilante self-defense group. Zoe Pound first gained the attention of the media in the spring of 1997 when gang members robbed ships docking along the Miami River, kidnapping and torturing crew members. Having branched out from Miami in the two decades leading up to 2010, they are known to be involved in substance transportation and robbery and related violent crimes in support of the substance transportation activities. In 2004, six Zoe Pound leaders were arrested on racketeering and conspiracy charges in Fort Pierce, Florida, after Florida Department of Law Enforcement officers convinced several gang members to give testimony for the prosecution. All right, let's stop sharing that one. So that's who we've got coming on next. And he was in the mix, not only with Diddy, not only with J-Lo, but also he's got stories about 50 Cent. He's got stories about Jay-Z. He's got stories about Tupac, Biggie, Henchman, Jim Jones. And I said to him, look, can you even answer questions on Beyonce and Oprah? And he said he's up for answering questions on Beyonce. So we're going to hear a lot from this guy for the first time. Right, let me just see if he's coming in. Let me just double check again. Let me just message my guy. All right. Let me see what's going on in the chat while we're waiting. So, let's see. Someone do a welfare check on Sophia, please. Just reading the chat. Jim Jones from the cult. From the hip-hop community, I believe. Katie Cat, Haitian community at the NJ Shore are really lovely people. Nice community. No doubt there are those on the dark side. It's like, no, he did not rat when he got busted. He was sentenced to 30 years. And the prosecutor who had prosecuted the Ochoa brothers, who had prosecuted Noriega, said that our friend Ali, who's coming on, was the most dangerous person he's ever prosecuted. One second, they're asking for the link again. Let me just get the link for these guys. So invite. Let me just send them the link again. Here we go. Yeah, it said that our friend Ali is the most dangerous guy he's ever prosecuted. And if you're not familiar with the Ochoa brothers, hey, Reese, I've just sent the link. You've just come on using this link. It's the same link, but I've resent it to your email. So do you want to forward it to him? You know, I've written extensively about the cartels, about Pablo Escobar. I've written a series of books, started with me, you know, deconstructing mass incarceration and the war on drugs, which led over to the Bush and Clinton crime families, which led over to Iran-Contra, which then led over to Escobar, Cali cartel, and he's saying it black and white. He says this. Hey, Reese, you know, it's the same link you just logged on with. It's the same link I sent this morning, and it's the same link I've just resent you in the email address. Just tell him to restart his devices and just try again. Quite often, restarting your devices gets everything reset. All right. Like I said, you know, he's just got out of prison. He's not hip to technology. So just bear with us, folks, while we get him in. We did run through all this with him today. And he did manage to get in. Yeah, so I've written 17 books. And where was Ali incarcerated? We're going to get all that. We'll get all the different places when he comes on. Get your questions ready, folks. But, you know, I learned that people like George H.W. Bush, when they were fighting this war on drugs and claiming that Pablo Escobar was the bogeyman and posing with all of these seizures of kilos of the white, they were simultaneously, through the CIA, bringing the white in. And Barry Seal was a pilot, the pilot that was doing that for them. So I wrote a book called Who Killed Barry Seal? Pablo Escobar or George H.W. Bush? American made. You saw the movie starring Tom Cruise. It was a whitewash. And when Barry Seal got whacked, basically, they found George H.W. Bush's phone number on him, and the cartel whacked him. Yeah, but Bush put Barry Seal in a halfway house. They court ordered that he couldn't have any weapons or any bodyguards, and the Medellin cartel, they had representatives in the courtroom watching and listening to the hearing where the judge was saying the address Barry Seal was going to be. How's that? So, yeah, the Bush crime family could blame the cartel and blame the hitman who got sentenced to life for it, who was Colombian. That's how there is a world where intelligence and criminal enterprises such as the mafia, the Italian mafia, and the cartels coexist. And in that world, the intelligence agencies, they have these mafia guys or these cartel hitmen do the dirty work for them. So the link, the chain, the legal causality is severed. They arrest the hitman. They say, obviously, it was the cartel. Escobar's got a bounty out on this guy. End of story. Bush is posing with these seizures, saying that Escobar is the boogeyman. Well, I don't know if any of you guys have seen my interview with Pablo Escobar's son. There came a moment with Pablo Escobar's son, and Pablo Escobar's son, he is deadpan. He never smiles. He's a serious guy. And the only time he smiled was when I said to him, who was the biggest dealer of the white powder back in the day of your father? Was it your father or was it George H.W. Bush? And his face, he cracked a smile at that point. He cracked a smile and he conceded that it was George H.W. Bush. Yes, I had an interview with Pablo Escobar's son. It's on the True Crime Podcast playlist. I've published a book for one of the son of the Cali cartel. I've interviewed him as well. If you just go on YouTube and you just search Sean Atwood, Pablo Escobar's son, or Sean Atwood, son of the Cali cartel, you'll you can find those interviews. And the Son of the Cali Cartel book, that's a real eye-opener as well, because the government works with a cartel for so long. And because they have to fight the war on drugs, they wipe out the cartel's competition. That is the cartel that they're working with. So for a period of time, they are working with Escobar. But when Escobar gets too hot, they sacrifice him to the Americans. And then they're working with the Cali guys. And when the Cali guys get too hot, they sacrifice them to the Americans. And then they're working with the new guys. And the flow of the white never stops. The white gets cheaper every year, gets more concentrated every year. There's more violence around it every year. And this is big business. The US justice system is one of the biggest employers in the world. In the world. The private prison industries, the contracts are in the billions a year. And it doesn't matter which political party wins, they keep the contracts rolling. And the private prisons kick down tens of millions a year to the politicians in political contributions, aka bribery, to keep those contracts rolling out. Why aren't we following the Scandinavians who've got the lowest reoffending in the world? Because giving prisoners job skills and educations kills business for prisons, kills business for the legal system, kills the hundreds of contractors surrounding these industries, everything from razor wire to telephone services. These parasites take our tax money and just relish that crime is thriving. They want people out dealing. This is why you've got BlackRock owning huge stakes in rap music companies, including Diddy, including fake ass Rick Ross, the former prison guard, portraying to the young people, go out, be a badass, deal the substances, transport women. And these people are fodder for the prison industrial complex, because BlackRock owns, they're the biggest investors in the private prisons, as well as the biggest investors in the music companies, putting these tracks out, telling the kids to commit the very crimes they go into the private prisons for. It's all one big money go round. Right, I heard a beep. Let me see if our friend has come in. No, he's still not in yet. All right, let me tell Reese. Hey, Reese, everybody's waiting still. We're up to about 4,000 waiting now. We're all good. I'm just keeping everybody appraised of what's going on. Try and keep Ali in. And we will see you guys as soon as he comes in any minute. I will, let me just send Reese this live stream so he can watch me talking. Reese has kindly arranged this interview. But so that led to me, I started to write my own story in the beginning when I got released in 2007. My first book was Hard Time, documenting my journey through Sheriff Joe Arpaio's jail. That led to a trilogy, Party Time, Hard Time, Prison Time. Party Time, all the naughty stuff I did. Hard Time, the jail. Prison Time, the prison. And it took me a long time to learn how to write. And as I researched deeper into the jail and the prison, and I came across the prison industrial complex, which is an offshoot of the military industrial complex, That's what led me getting over to the Bush crime family, the Clinton crime family. And it was after I researched the Clinton crime family, because Bill's brother Roger got busted buying the white. He said to the undercover cop, some of this is for Bill. He's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner. And then Bill went on to become the president and lock up a record amount of people for low-level drug offenses, including women. Under war on drugs, and mass incarceration, women became the fastest growing prison population. And Bill Clinton was instrumental in that, yet his own brother got busted buying the white, some of which was for Bill. The brother, of course, eventually got a pardon. So just seeing the utter hypocrisy. And then you've got, I can see people in the chat talking about the boys on the tracks. Because my book, Clinton, Bush, and CIA Conspiracies, the subtitle is From the Boys on the Tracks to Jeffrey Epstein. And the boys on the tracks, and God bless Linda Ives, two boys witnessed in Maine, Arkansas. Thank you, RM. A CIA drug drop in Maine, Arkansas. And it was Bill Clinton who had put up the security for that by way of the Arkansas State Troopers. Now, these guys were protecting the CIA drops, which were being coordinated under George H.W. Bush by Oliver North. Do you remember the guy with the diary? He documented some of this. And Felix Rodriguez, also of the CIA. So anyway, these two kids witnessed this, and they were found dead, unalived, on the train tracks, side by side. And the medical examiner who worked for the Clinton crime family, who was brought in to give Bill Clinton's mom a pass when someone died on her shift when she was working in the medical community. So Fahmy Malik, he was untouchable after that. Fahmy Malik came in and said, the boys had done so much of the green, they'd smoked so much of the green, they had gone into a trance and lay side by side on the tracks, and the train had run them over. And I go over all of the different opinions that Fahmy Malik has come out with on things. People would be shot, and he'd say they drowned in a pool. This is the kind of stuff he would get away with. It was ridiculous. So Linda Ives, Don Henry and Kevin Ives were the names of the kids, and may they rest in peace. Linda Ives was a mom, and she was campaigning for justice. She would show up at Clinton's speeches and say, look, what is wrong with, something's wrong with the situation. I want it investigated. And Bill Clinton would promise her he was going to look into it. And he would blank her. Yeah, we've got our interview with Annika Lucas coming on in the next few days. I know there's been a lot of talk about that. She would confront Bill Clinton, and he would say to her, "We'll look into it," and he would just blank her. He would just avoid her. And people who, I think it was Don Henry. I don't know if it was Don Henry's dad or Kevin Ives' dad who worked on the trains. And they put the tarp over these kids, and they knew something was wrong, that this couldn't have happened. And the medical team that arrived on the scene could see that the blood, it had already started to clot. The blood was not fresh. These weren't the wounds of a train running over these kids and causing fresh blood wounds. So it was so obvious to the family members this narrative was wrong, and no justice has ever been served, because, you know, this was blowing the lid on, and it was part of Iran-Contra, whereby they were justifying. George H.W. Bush was confronted at a meal, and they said to him, how are you getting away with bringing the white stuff in while simultaneously campaigning, running a war on drugs? How can you be bringing it in and claiming to be at war with it? And Bush's response, I researched this, I found this, and I wrote this in one of my books. Bush's response was that the public's perception of reality is so far removed from being able to conceive that somebody could do that, they would never, ever believe that I am doing that. Even if somebody told them the truth, the fact that the president was running this war on drugs while bringing it in, he bragged that would just blow the public's minds. The public just would not believe anyone had told them that. How could that possibly be the case, that the president could be doing that? This is how condescending these people are. This is how they just look down on people like you and me and think we're going to just swallow their nonsense all day long. And they had these strategies that worked pre-internet, you know, when there was just a few little news channels here in the UK. It was the BBC One, BBC Two, ITV. That's all we had. And they completely controlled the narrative. Look at Gulf War One. Gulf War One, George H.W. Bush again. We were just told that, you know, Saddam Hussein was Hitler, just like they're telling us Putin is Hitler, and that Saddam Hussein's soldiers were charging into hospitals, grabbing babies from incubators and to babies. That's what they were saying. And this information was sourced from someone who was part of the program. There was no credible evidence to ever support that that was happening to these babies. Now, I'm not supporting Saddam here. There's evil dictators all over the world. But the military-industrial complex just chooses which one's going to be the flavor of the day. So they can take our taxpayers' money to bomb the poorest countries of the world. Not these leaders they've got on their payroll that they've usually installed. And who is it that dies? Over 5 million people have died because of the war on terror, put into motion by the Bush, Clinton, Obama crime families. Over 5 million people. More than half of them, women and kids. How sick is that? And they say, you know, that other world leaders are monsters and barbaric. In recent decades, who's killed 5 million people? 5 million people? Just bombing the crap out of people? People getting married, people at weddings, kids, civilians. It's absolutely sickening. You know, when I heard that Boris Johnson went out there to Ukraine and made the leader of Ukraine refuse to sign a peace deal with Russia, and over 500,000 people have died since then, this sicko, Boris Johnson, the blood that is on these people's hands, it is diabolical, absolutely diabolical. All right, so have a super chat. Thank you. Did you know anything about the Con Anani, Jamie Hunt? No, I am not familiar with that, Heather. That is something that we are going to have to look into. And yeah, loads of people have asked about Ron's shows. Ron's going to be back tomorrow. He's going to be doing loads more with Beverly. And we've just got to be more careful about what people say when they come on, because the enemy can use what people say to target us. And the dark forces have manifested to try and destroy our important work. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want to give any more information out to the enemy than is necessary. So, yeah. All right. So, snakes and doggies, the 5 million people dead. When the war against terror was started, you know, they said they were going into Afghanistan to stop the brown, you know, the drug that people put inside their bodies, inject. They said they were going in Afghanistan for women's rights because these people are barbarians. And what did they do? They just bombed the crap out of the country, you know, and then they bombed the crap out of Iraq. They said Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. We're trying to get Scott Ritter on the channel. He was a weapons inspector back then. And he refused over 1 million, I think, from the Bush, Cheney, cabal, to say that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction when he knew they didn't. And they honey trapped him, they criminalized him, they tried to ruin him, they tried to destroy him. But he's doing a lot on various channels, getting really good views and giving the correct insight based on history about the deep state and what is going on with Ukraine and Russia and who's really running the show. It's terrible how the Ukraine is, the people have been manipulated and it's just been turned into an absolute bloodbath over there. It's absolutely sickening. So that billionaires, including BlackRock, who've already carved Ukraine up to monetize the resources, they're desperately trying to cling on to that territory. And they're talking about putting nukes, arming Ukraine with nukes now. Who are the companies rebuilding these countries? Exactly, CJ. Halliburton, Dick Cheney. If you picked up a banana in the canteen, if you were a soldier in Iraq or Afghanistan, excuse me, if you picked up a banana, they billed the taxpayers tens of dollars per banana. Isn't that insane? They just overbilled the public for everything. The showers that a subsidiary of Halliburton installed for the soldiers. I think in the beginning, the electrical failures in the showers were the biggest cause of death of the soldiers. And this company, it was investigated by all these faulty showers, were unaliving all these soldiers. And the company brought in to investigate it concluded about the fault, let him in. And guess who the taxpayers had to pay to repair the fault? Guess who the contract went to? Another subsidiary of Dick Cheney. So Dick Cheney's killing all these soldiers through the showers. And Dick Cheney gets paid even more money for the contract to fix the showers he's killing the soldiers with. Hold on a second. Hey, Reese, I'm watching the studio. You're not in the studio. And Ali's not in the studio. You guys need to come in so I can let you in. There's nobody in. All right, let's see what's going on with these guys. Yeah, Reese, you were in the studio earlier, but you've logged back out, and Ali has never been able to log in so far. Anyway, I'm having fun speaking impromptu to you guys, going over these things spontaneously. So Tommy Landegren, lack of grain sent to Northern Africa also plays into New World Order as well. Yes. Look, the NWO is manipulating the whole world. They say they're sending aid to countries, pretending they are benevolent and charitable. And what does aid mean? Aid means your taxpayers' money going to contracts that are handed out to friends of the politicians who are receiving kickdowns by way of political contributions from the friends who are receiving the contracts. That is the definition of aid. They have these countries by the cojones. Because the reason the weed laws became prevalent all over the world, there was a racist drug czar called Harry Anslinger, who Johan Harry, who's done TED Talks on this, has written an excellent book about. Oh, I heard a beep. Yeah, we got Ali in. Let me give him a thumbs up. Let me give him a thumbs up. All right, folks. He's going to be coming in. He's going to be coming in now. So if you are watching the stream, it is about to end. It will customize over to Ali. Please continue with us. This is his first time speaking live. He's just done 2 decades in prison. He's been in the Diddy videos. He brought substances to Diddy parties. He's partied with J-Lo, partied with Diddy. He's got a lot to say about 50 Cent, Jay-Z, and so many other huge names. Get your questions ready, folks. I'm about to bring him in, but I'm ending this stream. So click over to the new one. If you can't find it, the channel icon will go, it'll say I'm live. And